ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Menachos is dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas Rabbi Chiel Michel ben Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Karfunkel.
Maseches Menachos, Daf Nun Zayin. This daf begins with a discussion, which actually starts at the bottom of the previous Omud, Nun Vav Mebeis, about Hiniach So'er al Gabe Ho'iso, V'holach V'yoshav Loi V'neskamtzo Me'eloho. So a person placed some sourdough, some So'er, on top of a dough of a korban mincha, and the person went and sat there, he just holach V'yoshav Loi, and it on its own went through a fermentation process catalyzed by the sourdough, and it became chometz by itself. And the halacha is that chayov oleha kemaase shabbos, that the person is chayov for making the sa'ir fermented, for making the mincha fermented, bring mechametzit, just like we find by maase shabbos. And before going on, I just want to mention that the word sa'ir we just translated as sourdough, and that's the correct translation. It's very unfortunate that common, well-known translations of the Gemara often translate so'er as yeast, which is not correct. Today, yeast is commonly used as a catalyst for the fermentation of doughs, and that's something which we use in modern-day times, but it's not what so'er is. So'er is sourdough, which was used in ancient times as a starter, as a catalyst for the fermentation process of doughs. Of course, it's particularly important to recognize that when you're learning with Masechta Psochim, and you have certain halachas that are negeah to so'er, other halachas that are negeah to chometz, but certainly even here in Menachos, we ought to translate the word so'er correctly. Now, the person put the sourdough starter, which is a catalyst for fermentation, the so'er, on top of the isa, and he just sat there and it fermented by itself. And the halacha is that you're chayav on that. Rashi is mavur, that there is a chiddush here. The chiddush is, says Rashi, the fact that all you did, the act on the part of the person, was hanocha ba'almo. The person just did a hanocha, he just placed it, and that's a very shvacha maisa, it's a very weak activity, a weak maisa on the part of the person. And mavur in Rashi and the this from Rashi, that I might have had a hava amina, that since it's just a hanocha ba'almo, this is not called an act of being mechametz to Isa. And kamash malon, that's what Rashi tells us, that the chiddush here is, even though it was a weak act, just a placement of the sourdough on top of the dough, of the mancha, afa pi kein, your chayev. The second point the Gemara is making is that this is learned from the fact that we make a comparison to Maisei Shabbos. We find by Hilchos Shabbos that a person can do an activity which is weak and kind of almost insignificant from the vantage point of the doer, of the person who did it, and nonetheless be chayav on Shabbos. Rashi gives the case, which is based on the Gemara on our daf on Zayin, the case would be a person placed bosor al gabi gecholim b'Shabbos v'nitzla me'elov. Once again, the focus, as Rashi points out, on the nitzla me'elov. All you did was you placed the meat on top of the hot coals, the glowing coals on Shabbos. It was a small little act of placement from your standpoint. Nonetheless, nitzla me'elov, the malacha was ogeton, the malacha was achieved, and it became tzolui, it became nitzla by virtue of that smallish act that you did, just the act of placement. We find on Shabbos that you're chayev, and it's a malacha, and likewise, we're telling tzu, we're drawing the parallel, that we say the same thing with regard to mechametz and mincha. All you do was a small little act of placement of the so'er on the dough, and you're still chayev. The third point is what the Gemara says on our Omer over here, that there's actually a chiddush in the fact that you're chayev on that on Shabbos, just for placing the basar on the gecholim, the meat on the coals. And actually, it's mavur, the Gemara brings in Rabbi Yochanan, that said that hipeich boi chayev lo hipeich boi potter. So actually, you have to turn it over. Because if you don't turn over the meat on the gecholim, on the coals, the act that's done is insufficiently accomplished, and therefore it's not sufficiently roasted. And mail only if you're hipeich boi, then you're going to be chayev. Now here, actually, on this last nekuda, we actually have a machloikas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns that the hipeich boi that's necessary by the case of the being tzoil of the meat on Shabbos and being chayev for malacha, it's only in Hilchos Shabbos that you need the hipeich boi, turning it over. But that actually has no parallel, according to Rashi, by the placing of the so'er on the isa. And just putting so'er on the isa by itself, even if you don't mahapech the isa, you don't turn over the dough so that all sides of the dough come in contact with the sourdough starter, there's still, say, chayev in the case of the korban mincha. Tosfos learns, not like Rashi, Tosfos finds a closer parallel between the case of Shabbos and the case of mechametz the isa. That according to Tosfos, we say that likewise, by the case of mechametz the isa, thus the act of placing the so'er on top of the isa is kind of ineffectual. It's an ineffective act, very weak in its effectiveness, and consequently, here too, it will be necessary to turn over the isa so that the so'er comes into contact with both sides of the isa, and only then you chayev. So Tosfos finds that closer parallel between Shabbos and Mechametz the Mincha. According to Rashi, that's actually not the main point of the Gemara, and in that point we don't have to find the parallel. We're simply drawing the comparison with regard to the fact that the act that you did, mitzad the oisa, mitzad the doer, it lacked significance. It was not a strong act. It was hanocha ba'alma, here by placing the sa'ar on the isa, just like by placing the tzali on the gecholim on Shabbos, the meat on the gecholim, and just like on Shabbos yichayev, so too over here. Now let's begin by asking a basic question over here, which is actually raised by the Svasemes, and that is, imagine for a moment that placing the sourdough on top of the isa would not have been chayev. We also with mechadish in this gemara that it is chayev. Imagine that it would not have been chayev. It's a very small, insignificant action, and it wouldn't have been chayev. So what would have been the case in which a person would be liable to be chayev the loisa say for being mechametz the isa of the korban mincha? What would have been the case? So Svasemes says that the alternative would have been to say that the person took the sourdough and he kneaded it directly into the dough, which is a stronger maisa, and by the way, it's more effective because you're kneading it into the dough itself of the korban mincha. You take the sourdough and it's lush into the isa of the korban mincha, and thereby you did a stronger maisa mitzad the person. However, the emes is that even in that case, the Ramichel Feinstein over here, in the Shiur Ramichel Feinstein, asked the question, he says, ultimately, what exactly is the basic fundamental chiddush of this sugya, the way Rashi learns? So it seems that Rashi is telling us that the basic chiddush is the fact that it's neschamtza me'eleho. After all, when Rashi makes the comparison to Shabbos, Rashi stresses the fact that you put the meat on the coals, and it was nitzle me'elov. It got roasted by itself, so to speak. Well, Rabbi Michal Feinstein, if that's the case, we ought to ask the basic question that l'chayra, every single time a person is mechametz an isa of korban mincha, no matter how he does it, it's always ferments by itself. The activity of chimut takes place by itself. Imagine for a moment that we did this Fasemis' case, where the person would have been lush the isa, the sa'ur, directly into the isa. He kneads the sourdough directly into the dough. So says Rabbi Michal Feinstein, in that case, are you going to say that the person did a maisa of ferment? The dough. He didn't do a maisa fermenting the dough. All he did was make the soyer come into a better contact with the dough because it's permeated throughout the dough, and now the chimitz will take place more uniformly by means of that soyer that's intermixed throughout the dough. But the fermentation process, by definition, takes place by itself. It's an act that occurs by itself. It's a chemical process that takes place as the soyer comes into contact with the isa, and it causes a fermentation to take place within the dough. Cause the dough to ferment and thereby to rise. It happens by itself, no matter how you do it. The person can't do a fermenting act on the dough. So ultimately, as Michal Feinstein, if the chiddush of this gemara is that neschamtza me'elov is chayev, and l'chayre it ought to be obvious that it's chayev, and there should be no havamina that it's potter, because then there will be no case of loisei osa chomeis at all, ever, since by definition, every fermentation act on the dough always takes place me'elov by itself. That's Michal Feinstein's kasha. Michal Feinstein answers this kasha by pointing out that if we read very carefully the sugyas in this perek, we find, and this is something that others pointed as well, that we find that there's actually two different halachic meanings of the pasuk, the isur, of loy seyosa chometz, and both of them are osur, but they're independent isurim that are learned out of the same pasuk of loy seyosa chometz. One of the isurim of loy seyosa chometz is don't cause the korban mincha to become fermented, to become chometz. Don't cause it to become chometz. An example of that is, of course, our gemara right here. The person takes the seir and puts it on the isa, and he causes the isa to become chometz, and he's in violation of the lois hasei. So lois hasei chometz, don't make it become chometz. A second isa, which we find in different sugyas in this perek, is that in a case in which the dough, let's say, is chometz, it's also to do various stages of processing on that dough. So a person has an isa which is chometz, he's not allowed to do the aricha on the chometz to the dough. He's not allowed to do the afia, like the shaping. He can't do the baking of the chometz tikka dough. These are steps that are not expediting the chometz process. They're not making it chometz. It already is chometz. It's just that the person is shaping the chometz. He's doing the steps of processing the chometz dough to turn it into a baked loaf. And any step of the process, the Gemara tells us that we're chayav on aricha b'fnei atzmoi, you're chayav on afiyah b'fnei atzmoi, and the Gemara tells us in various sugyas in the Perek that those are isurim nichlal in loiseyos achomeis. But Rav Feinstein points out, and others say this as well, that these are two fundamentally different isurim. They both are learned out of the same pasuk, but they're cholok b'yosoizon, they're different. One of them is the act of being mechametz the dough, causing it to become fermented, whereas it previously had not been fermented, and the other is taking a fermented dough and processing, doing the shaping, doing the baking, etc., etc. On that, Rav Michal Feinstein says that actually the fundamental Yesoidius de Kahavamene here, as explained by Rashi, would have been zok there, that if not for the chiddush of this sugya, I would have said that there's only one meaning to Loisei Osa Chometz, and it would not have meant that you can't make the dough fermented. Because you don't make the dough fermented in any event. That's not done by you. It's done by the Ribono Shel Olam. It's done by Teva. It's done by nature. The dough, it comes into contact, into proximity with the catalyst, and it ferments. So that happens by itself. It takes time, and it happens by Elov. The Haman of this Gemara would have been that only the other meaning of Loisi Osa Chometz would have been the Isser. The Hainu would be also to take a Mechometz stick of dough, a leaven the dough, and to shape it, to bake it, etc. Kamash Melon the Gemara, then actually there are two different Isurim that are both Nechal and Loisi Osa Chometz, and the act of being mechametz to Isa is considered to be a sufficient ma'isa mitzad the person who's just placing the dough on the Isa, or he's kneading it into whatever it is, and that's called a sufficient ma'isa mitzad the mensch that he's in violation of the loisa say when it's a chametz me'elov. So Hashemis adds over here that actually the particular case given by the Gemara, he niyas el gabi Isa, is apparently a bigger chiddush than kneading the dough into the Isa, into the Isa. Otherwise, the Gemara could simply have said, Dr. Hashemis, that every time you knead this Sa'ir into the dough, you're in a violation of the Lois HaSei. Why did the Gemara have to pick a special case of Inia Sa'ir Gabi Ha'isa? So Hashem says, Zetzuchois, that placing the Sa'ir on top of the Isa lacks an extra quality called Derech Chimutz. It's not the Derech of a person to mechametz a dough in this manner. Of course, you want to mechametz the dough, you would need a sourdough into it. It's much more effective. It's much more effectual. So the person just places the Sa'ir on top of the dough, since it's less effective, it will achieve something. It will be mechametz, but it's less effective. It's not Derech Chimutz. It's not the manner in which it's usually done. Consequently, I might have thought it's not nichol in the pasuk, and that's the chiddush, extra chiddush of the Gemara, that even placing a sa'ir on top of an isa is also in violation of the lois haseh. The Brisker Rav over here in the shiurim addresses a different question. The Brisker Rav says it's apparent from the Gemara that the Gemara, when it was unsure whether placing a sa'ir on top of an isa and being mechametz in this manner is sufficient, the Gemara learned that it is sufficient from ma'isa Shabbos. So ma'isa Shabbos we find by hilcha Shabbos, by melecha Shabbos, a person in violation of the melacha of oifa. When he puts the oifa, of course, as you know, includes not just baking, but also roasting and etc. So you put the meat on the coals and it gets roasted by itself, like Rashi says, happens by itself, and your little act of putting the meat on it is sufficient to be over malacha, and we find that by Shabbos, we'll find it by being mechametz and mincha as well. In fact, the Biskirov, that arguably there's no tzustof on Shabbos, and Shabbos cannot serve as a malamed, as a paradigm to learn from there. Because we know, by Hilcha Shabbos, that there's a very basic concept called melechas machshevet osra teira, which is focused, goal-oriented activity asked by the Torah. And for example, the Biskarov points out that we find, to give an important example, the Gemara says of Baba Kama, that if a person throws the threshed grain up into the air, so that it's his chaff and his grain, he throws it up into the air, and the air, the wind, separates the chaff from the grain. This is the malacha of Zoyre. That's called Zoyre v'ruach mesayasa, you winnow, but the assistance of nature, with the assistance of the wind, so you chayav on Shabbos, even though the Gemara Tain is over there in Baba Kama, that l'choira, as far as ordinary klolei ha-toira, I would have argued that it's not sufficient ma'isa mitzad the person. You just threw it up in the air and the wind was what winned it. Nonetheless, on Shabbos, since you say melech ha-machsheves ha-toira, which means focused, goal-oriented melecha ha-toira acid, here it's sufficient that the result was achieved by means of that smallish activity that you did. You just threw it up in the air, you harnessed the forces of nature to bring about the result. However, melech ha-shabbos is result-oriented. We define it based upon whether the result was achieved. Was it achieved? Yes, the chaff is winnowed away from the grain, and that's sufficient, even though the ma'isa he did was a small ma'isa. So at the Biskirov, if that's a yesod that we find by Shabbos, it's miyusid based upon the toitzo, result-oriented. If that's the case, then who adin by, for example, here I place my bosar on the gecholim and it gets nitzla, there's no raya from here that the fact that that's placing the bosar is sufficient ma'isa for hilcha Shabbos, for malacha Shabbos, that doesn't prove to you it's sufficient for any other of the mishpatei ha'tayra, it doesn't prove to you it's sufficient for the issa being mechametz the iso, because Shabbos is unique. It has a special klal, the rule of melechas machsheves ha-toteir, which means, in a nutshell, in this context, what it means is, it doesn't define, it's not defined by whether you did a ma'isa gomor from your standpoint, rather it's defined based upon whether what you did, whatever the input was, brought about the desired results. Melechas Shabbos is gemost, and it's measured by whether the results were brought about, and that's what we take out of melechas machsheves ha-toteir. If so, there's no raya from here to mechametz di. So that's the Biz Grov kasha. The Grov answers this by saying that in reality, we are not trying to take Melech HaShabbos Asher Torah, the Klal of Melech HaShabbos Asher Torah, and apply it to Chimot HaIsa, of course. Melech HaShabbos is unique unto Shabbos. We're not telling it to here. However, Zot HaBrisker Rav, in fact, the Gemara was anyhow Kimlei. The Gemara knew that you don't need a Maisa B'Yadayim, of a Maisa of fermenting the dough. It's not like we started from the assumption that a person has to actively ferment the dough with a Maisa Gomor. As we mentioned before, such a thing does not exist anyway. There's no such concept of actively fermenting. Fermentation is a process that's done by nature over the course of time. It It happens by itself. It's a chemical process that the dough undergoes. It generates carbon dioxide and it causes the dough to rise. So this happens by itself. And the Biskarov says, that point we were assuming based upon Sfor, we figure that out. We know we're Kimlon, that Loin Seyos HaChametz includes the Issa to bring about a matzav in which the dough is fermented and not being learnt out of Shabbos, and it can't be learnt out of Shabbos. While we are taking out of Shabbos at the Biskarov is one Nakuda, is that we know, Zokter, that even in Hilcha Shabbos, where the fact is that the Malacha is result-oriented, and you measure the Malacha based upon the Tetzol, like you find by Zohar, like by winnowing. Is it winnowed? Yes, it is. So you're over the Malacha. Nonetheless, Avada, even over there, we have to have that the Tetzol is brought about al Yedei Maisa HaOdam. It doesn't have to be that the Maisa is a Maisa Gomor, that Maisa by itself contains the wherewithal to bring about the winnowing, for example, but it has to be that it's defined as an act that was brought about through the Maisa HaOdam. So you, the person, the mensch, mitzad his Maisa through the grain into the air, and the chaff was separated by the wind. You placed the meat on top of the coals, and the coals roasted it. Thus says that even though it's not b'yasoidoi toloi in the fact that the mensch brought about the malacha, but it does require that the malacha was brought about through a maisa of the mensch. The tznai in the malacha, that in order to be used to be chayav on that, it has to be that it was brought about by means of a maisa. What's the madrega? What's the level of the maisa that's required? So that the Gemara tells us it's sufficient. I know if you throw grain up into the wind, you did a big maisa, you threw it up into the wind. Here, the Gemara gives a case where you just place the basar on the coals. It's all you did, an active placement of the basar on the glowing coals. The coals took it from there and roasted the basar, and the placement of the basar was sufficient by itself to mechayev you for Melechah Shabbos. If so, that the Biskirov we're taking out of there, that by those Yisurei Torah, which are measured, gemostin, based upon the outcome, based upon the Tetzor, which we are Kimlon, we figured out on our own that Isra Mechametz the Isa has that quality as well, that it's outcome oriented, it's measured based upon whether the fermentation outcome, the fermented chumutz, the outcome was brought about, but we do have to require that there was some maisa that was getan by the person. It needs that you look at the toitzor as having been generated through some maisa, some input, mitzad the gavra, mitzad the person, and we're taking out of Hilchas Shabbos, an act of placement is sufficient, just like placing the meat on the coals, so too over here, the act of placing the sire on the isa is enough. I might have thought it's a maisa kolduhu, it's hardly a maisa and doesn't count, so we take out of Shabbos that act of placement is a maisa, and likewise over here, by Hiniach Soer al Gabe Ho'isa. One last point on this sugya. The Evan Ha'ozel has an interesting diuk in the Rabbeinu Gershom over here on the sugya. The Rabbeinu Gershom brings down the last line of the Gemara here, which is in the third line of the Omud, and the Gemara says that the person is liable for placing the Sa'ir and the Isa, but its equivalent, says the Gemara, on Shabbos when you do what's called a Maisa Tzli Shel Shabbos, an act of Tzli on Shabbos. What do these words mean, Kemaisa Tzli Shel Shabbos? Well, the way that Rashi learns the Gemara, this is simply a restatement of what the Gemara said a moment ago, that on Shabbos you have to be hipech boy, that when you place the basar on the coal, the basar on the coals, it's only going to be chayiv if you hipech boy, if you turn it over, otherwise it's going to be an insignificant act. In the case like the Gemara says, where it's only machal ben jusoy, it's only partially cooked, so you have to have turned it over, and thereby you're going to be chayiv, only hipech boy is sufficient. However, the Rabbeinu Gershom has a very curious pshat, says the Evan HaOzel. If you read the words carefully, you can see it clearly. It's not like Rashi. Rabbeinu Gershom learns that when the Gemara brings in this new loshon of kemaisa tzlisho Shabbos, in the end of the sugya, the Gemara is actually introducing a new case, and Rabbeinu Gershom explicates what the case was. The case was, Zokter, that you had the meat on a shepud, on a spit, in the tanur, in the oven, and it was placed on the spit in such manner, in other words, that the heat source is actually coming at it from multiple sides. Right? If you place the basar directly on the coals, you only chayv v'hipech boy, because otherwise it's very, very irregular and uneven, and there was actually a lack of a heat source on the top, and the whole thing is only maichab and jusoy, a partial cooking, and that would not be sufficient because the top didn't even get that. However, if you do what Rabbeinu Gershom describes, and the way he teaches into the final line of the Gemara, k'maisa tzli shel Shabbos, Maisa Tzli Shel Shabbos, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, is a new scenario where you didn't put the meat on the coals, you put it on a spit inside of a hot oven, and thereby, it's not just the bottom of the heat, the bottom of the meat is going to come in contact with the heat, but the top part as well. So there, that would be a scenario, explains the Evan Ozum, where Rabbeinu Gershom was looking for a scenario in which even without a heat, a Mashgiach Bo, you're going to be Chayev on Shabbos for a Tzli, and that would be similar to the scenario in our Gemara of placing a Seir on top of an Isa, which according to the Pashtas HaSugya, and like Rashi, you're going to be Chayev even without a Hipech Bo, even without turning it over. What is the special significance of finding that type of Tziur on Hilchos Shabbos and applying it to Hilchos Chemutz of a Karban Mincha? In other words, Ibn Ozel says, it was some special Chiddush that we discovered that when a person places a meat on a spit, on a shapud, inside of a tanner on Shabbos, and he places it in there, it's chayev. Why is it a chiddush? If the heat source is coming at it from all sides, then it ought to be obvious that you're chayev in a case like that. Why is this identified by a negation with Pshat and the Gemara as some kind of a special chiddush? Of them, Zokt, the Evan Ha'ozel, and the special chiddush is as follows, Zokt there. The fact is, Zokt the Evan Ha'ozel, that even though if a person puts meat on a spit in the oven, it's going to get a heat source from all sides, nonetheless, the derech of tzli is always that a person rotates it, that he turns it over and turns it over regularly. Why do you turn it over, Zokter? Because even though there's heat coming at it from all sides, the heat is coming at it unevenly, in an uneven manner. There's more heat from the bottom, there's less heat from the top, and therefore, consequently, if you want to get it evenly roasted, which of course a normal person doing the act of cooking, roasting, they would surely want it to be evenly roasted, they would constantly turn it, they would constantly rotate it on the spit. This person we're talking about over here, it was not heat paper, they roasted it unevenly, because he just put the spit into the oven, he relied that it's coming, heat is coming from all sides, even though it's uneven, and he did it, and he succeeded the malacha, but it was not derech bishul bekach, it's not derech tzli bekach, because no normal person would roast in this manner, which is uneven, and doesn't get a uniform product. Despite that we say that in Hilchos Shabbos you're going to be chayev, and that's a sufficient derech bishul, even though it ends up with an uneven product, which the normal cook would not want. Likewise, Dr. Evan Ozer was telling that suit to our sugya as well. And the person places the on top of the Esau, even when naming on, we're assuming like Rashi learns, against the way Tosis learns, that you're chayev even without turning over the Esau. Tosis holds you have to turn over the Esau, otherwise you end up with an inadequate product, the bottom doesn't get fermented. Rashi learns that it is sufficient, and apparently the fermentation will permeate the entirety of the dough, and even the bottom of the dough gets fermented just from that sort of place in the top. Nonetheless, Zokti Evan Ha'ozu, it's going to be an uneven fermentation. There'll be much more fermentation on the top and much less on the bottom, and this is certainly not the derech which a person is mechametz. Ein derech mechametz bekach, Zokti. That would not be the usual manner, because it's uneven. Now that kamashla on the Gemara, that you're still chayev on the chemetz, and we don't pat you because it's not the maisa isser, because it's not the derech, we don't say that. Just like Hilchos Shabbos, we learn from Hilchos Shabbos that the tzli case of the shpud inside of the oven, placing the meat on the spit in the oven and not turning it over, suffices to be chayev you for tzli, and that's enough of a derech, even though it's not the normal way that a person would normally want to bake, because it ends up uneven. Weiter on the Omud, and Nun Zayin Amar Aleph, the Gemara learns out of the extra word mincha, superfluous word mincha, in the Pasuk, kol ha-mincha, asher tekriv l'Hashem lo yiseyof ha-chometz. So the extra word mincha there, it didn't have to say mincha. We learn that from there, that when you are chayev for causing the fermentation of the dough, it's not only when you're fermenting the koimetz, you make the koimetz mechumetz, that's a violation. After the kmitza, you do the chumetz on the koimetz, that's certainly a violation, but even if the mincha as a whole, which Rashi and Tosis define as before the kmitza, even before the kmitza, the person places a soyer or ferments the mincha as a whole before the kmitza took place, and this is an extra chiddush, we learned out of the word mincha, that you're liable for mechametz that as well. Tosis tells us that even in the Hava Gemara, we surely knew that just like a person is liable after the kmitza for being mechametz the koimetz, for causing a fermentation on the koimetz, he's also the same way liable for doing a chimetz on the shirayim. You know, when a person does a kmitza, he separates out the koimetz that's gone on his bech, the shirayim, the remainder is going to be eaten by the koyanim, and both of those entities are surely chayev if you mechametz them. And that we know, that's a very familiar drasha. They were learned out of the word chelkom. So chelkom tells us that the shirayim is in violation when you mechametz the shirayim, and those are things that are given. However, says that despite that we had a hava amina that before the maisa kmitza was done altogether, before you even did the act of the kmitza, at that point where the mincha is sitting there beklalusoi in its entirety, not having had the kmitza done on that, I would have had a hava amina that you're not liable for mechametz at that stage, and that's the kamash on the gemara over here, that even before the kmitza was done, the person is liable for being mechametzed. Then it's the sefer teres hakodesh, one of the achronim over here, asked the kasha that it seems like a strange hava amina. If you know that you're chayev for mechametz the Koimitz, and we know the Yechayev from Chametz Shirayim, then why exactly was there a Havamina that prior to doing the act of Kmitzo, before you separated out the Koimitz from the Shirayim, there was a Havamina, if not for a special Pasig, I was going to say what? I was going to say that you're not liable for Lois HaSefim Mechametz. Favos, why should that be? I mean, the Chelak HaKoimitz is Chayev, the Chelak HaShirayim is Chayev, everything is Chayev for being Mechametz. So why was I had a Havamina that Koidim the act of Kmitzo, there'll be no liability and no Chayev for being Mechametz the Mincha? And this, the Taras HaKodesh says briefly that from Desvegan, despite that, since before the Kmitza was done, the Kmitza wasn't even done yet, I would have had a Havamina that the person, not over Aloy Sase, the Mechaz Ariel, the Sefer Mechaz Ariel, the Masech de Menachos, explains as follows. He says that Bemis is a Rashi earlier on, of Tessa Men Aleph, that says that before the Kmitza is done in a Mincha, it doesn't have a Shem Mincha. That's where Rashi says, Loy Mekariya Mincha, it's not called a Mincha, Koyden Kmitza. That's Rashi's Loshana Dav Tess. So it doesn't have the complete Shem Mincha on it before the Kmitza is done. And therefore, consequently, I would have thought that the Pasik of Isser Chimitz doesn't apply if the Kmitza wasn't done yet, it doesn't have a Shem Mincha yet. And the Kamashna of the Pasik, an extra word mincha to tell mechadish to us that lagabi this then it is called a mincha and you are oivra chumutz before the kmitza as well. That's the minchas ariel. The Taras HaKodesh, however, gets into another question here as well. The Taras HaKodesh says that is there some havamina that if a person is mechameitz the mincha koidim the kmitza, so granted it, let's say we said it doesn't really have a shem mincha yet, and therefore consequently the pasuk doesn't necessarily apply. But frek there. Akoponim is going to be possible for sure. I mean, are you seriously going to suggest that the Taras HaKodesh, that a person could take a mincha that's fermented and mamish became a chumetz, take a mincha koid in the kmitza, you think you could do the sidri avoida on a mincha that's mamish chumetz? Even the havamina of the Gemara, you could take a mincha that's chumetz and you could do a kmitza on it and be offered the koimetz on his bech. I mean, that's totally impossible. You could be in violation of the pasuk of sa'ir le takrivu l'ashem, you can't offer for koimetz of sa'ir and tapen his bech. So what exactly was the havamina over here, zok there, that the person should be able to, is it a havamina that's going to be kosher, in other words, if I not have a special pasuk that I can't ferment the mincha koid in the kmitza, that I think that fermenting the mincha koid in the kmitza is going to be kosher, that the Taras HaKodesh is a varana. We knew there was going to be a pasul, but we thought that maybe you're not in violation of the lois say, it's not a malchus, it's not a lois say, because the pasuk of lois ase chometz we thought was going on dafke after the kmitza, like we said, when it has a shem gomor of a mincha. If you do the mechametz process before it the kmitza was taken off, so although that surely pasul the mincha makes it unusable for sure, even in the half a minute, but there was a half a minute that you would not be in violation of the lois hasei. The Menchas Ariel Satayinus, he suggests that perhaps there could have been a scenario in which I would have had a half a minute in the half a minute of the Gemara that would have been mamish kosher. And that is zok there, if before the kmitza was done, the person mechametz only a chaylak of the dough of the mincha and wasn't mechametz the other chaylak, and then it comes time for the kmitza, he'll take the kmitza off of the chaylak that nabuchumetz and offer that on his bech. And perhaps zok there, it might be that there was a hava mina that would actually be kosher in the havan of the Gemara to machter in the beach, because the kmitza portion of it akoponim is not mechumetz. The shirayim portion is mechumetz, but shirayim doesn't go on the beach. So you'll place the kmitza on the beach, and perhaps maybe there was a hava mina that such a mincha would have actually been kosher, if not for the special chiddush hakra from the word mincha telling me that the dini hakra and the psul and the lois hasei of the Torah does apply equally well before the kmitza. Bemis, this is a very, very mechudetik suggestion of the Menchas Ariel, and it's pashtus tzorachin. Pshuto, we know the well-known din that Shirayim Shechotzu being Kmitza LaHaktorah, it passed the Mincha. You know, if I'm part of the remainder of the Mincha, part of the Shirayim becomes missing, or all the Shirayim becomes missing, certainly before the Haktorah, you're not allowed to do the Haktorah Sakoimitz. You have to have the Shirayim has to be complete. It has to be Bishleimus. You can't have missing any of them at the time of the Haktorah. Now over here, it's physically the Shirayim is Bishleimus, but Lamaisa part of it became Chometz and therefore is totally unusable for the Korban. So consequently, L'Choira there would certainly have been a strong Svara to say that that falls on the Shirayim Shechotzu. And therefore there would have been no Havamina, that it should be kosher. In fact, I looked around and I saw in the Sefer Nezer HaKodesh that he actually talks about this question, about whether if the Shirayim become Chometz, they become fermented, is that ever din in Shirayim Shechosru, and does it impede you from offering the Koimetz? And because that's the din, Shirayim Shechosru, if it's mamash missing part of the volume, you can't offer the Koimetz, it's Ma'ak of the HaKtorah. What if the part of Shirayim partly becomes Chometz? Nezer HaKodesh comes out that he says that there's no often a raya to this thing, but even though there's no clear proof, he says Misvara, one would certainly assume that it does fall on the Shirayim Shechosru, and consequently you can't offer the Chometz. So that really or to address the Mechatz Ariel as well over here, it's difficult to say that there was an actual Havaman over here, that just because you fermented only part of the dough of the Mincha, so I'll take the Kmitza from the rest and offer that up, the Pashtus, the remainder, which is Shirayim, as a din of Shirayim Shechosru, because part is Chometz, and consequently, in the Havaman, it would have impeded the offering up of the Koimetz. Nonetheless, as the Teres HaKodesh says, we need the Pasuk, we need the Dinim, and this Gemara, the Drasha here, to tell you that you're in violation of a Lois HaSegomor, if you're Mechametz the Mincha prior to the Kmitza. I made a thought that the Lois HaSegomor, the Pasuk, is only addressing after the Kmitza was done. The Michal Feinstein over here asks a strong question on this Gemara, and he actually leaves it as a kasha. He asks that, which mincha is it talking about over here? Is the pshuto shemikra, the pshuto shemikra of the pasuk, called a mincha, etc., ashetakriva l'ashem, loisiyosa chomets, which pasuk is the pshuto shemikra going on? Because you remember that the Gemara over here, in the Hemshech HaSugya says, okay, maybe it only refers to this mincha, how do you know shar menochis minayin? The Gemara says it's learned out of kol mincha. Kol mincha is married with other minchas. So what in the pshuta shemikra, which context, which mincha is the pasuk talking about? And the answer is, it's talking about a minchas marcheshes, like the Mefarshim speak out. So the minchas marcheshes, the halacha is, by the marcheshes, the pan-fried mincha, that the din is that the kmitza is done on the minchas marcheshes after it's already been fully processed, after it's fully baked, fried, and only afterwards you do the kmitza on it. So frekt of them, they're a Michal Feinstein, that what in the world was the havamin in this particular case, which is the context of the pasuk itself, of asering, processing it as a chometz, what was the havamin that only iser applies the mechametz after the kmitz is done? We know that after the kmitz is done, it's already fully baked, and it's impossible to make it chometz at that point. It can't be fermented from that point and on. The Meila Zokta, it's not like you're talking about the Mincha Soilas or the like, which you can, it's possible to Mechametz it after the Koimetz. By the Mechesh, it's actually impossible, so it's Muchrach that the Pshuta Shemikra was talking about Koidim, that the baking was done, and before the Kmitza was done. The Kmitza is only after the baking altogether. So, frek there, the how in the world was there a Havamin in the Sugya, if it is talking about Mechesh, and if we see in the Gemara that we need a special limit to Marba other Menachas as well, that they also have the Isser of Loisei Yosef Chometz, so how did we have the Havamin here, that the Isser Chometz only applies after the Kmitza? It's a very, very strong question on the Pasha Shad of the Gemara, and Ruchel Feinstein remarkably leaves with a Tzorchian, you don't have any Teretz. Later in the Gemara raises a question of Chimtza v'yotzos v'chotza v'chimtza mahu. What does that mean? Well, the case was that the person was mechametz the mincha, he put tzair and he fermented the mincha, then, which passled the mincha, obviously, because now it's fermented, then he does another act of passling it, which is he takes it out of the azorah. So yotzos, the second act of passling. Then he brings it back into the azorah, and he's chotza v'chimtza, and he mechametz it a second time. And the shaila is, are you chayav and aloyah say for the second chumut? The fundamental question is, we know that generally speaking, the Gemara learns from a pasuk of Asher Takrivu, that a person's only over the loyah say of being mechametz the mincha if it is a mincha ksheira, not if it's a mincha psula. However, there's an exception to that, the Chazal learned out, that there is chumut after chumut. So the person mechametz the mincha, and mechametz it a second time, you're in violation, we talked about this the other day, you make an extra chumut on it, we talked about the different scenarios there, and the halacha is that there is, even though the first chemutz passed the mincha, nonetheless there's a second violation of chemutz if you mechametz it a second time. That's a special din in chemutz after chemutz. On the other hand, if the mincha is yotza and it becomes nifsal b'yotze, left the azara, that's a totally distinct psal, and if it once says nifsal b'yotze, the halacha is that you're not in violation anymore of the isur chemutz if you mechametz it after with yotze. The question over here is that at the time when you did the act of yotze, you took it out of the azara, it was a meaningless act. Why? Here we have a shaila how to learn. Rashi learns over here that the reason it may have been meaningless is because, says Rashi, since the moment that the person mechametz the mincha, it no longer has what's called a kedusha gemura, it doesn't have a complete kedusha, so perhaps the paslus of yoytze doesn't apply to a mincha that's lacking in a kedusha gemura, and that's why maybe there is no psal of yoytze at all that's chal on this mincha. So according to Rashi, if we don't say this svara, the paslus of yoytze takes effect on the mincha, and now it's impossible to be over on a second isur chemutz, because it's nifsal al tziyotze, pasul mincha, is no isur chemutz. On the other hand, if I learn that there is no psul of yotze altogether, because once he did the first chemutz, it doesn't have a kedusha gemura, and consequently it's impossible for the isur chemutz to be chal on that, so therefore, that's why I would say that if you mechametz it a second time, you are over, because in fact there was no side pasulus of yotze that was chal. Rav Michal Feinstein asked a question over here. Why exactly was there a svara to say that just because the mincha became nifsal al yedei chimutz, so therefore it's lacking in a kedusha gemura, to use the lashon of Rashi? Why is it? Is that a klal zok there in all of Shas, that if I pass a korban, the korban all of a sudden is lacking in its kedusha? Why should it be lacking in the kedusha? It has a kedusha gemura of a korban. It just happens to be that it has a psal, it has a pasos on it. Why would we naming on that the gemara is talking as this idea that once the mincha is mechumetz, it no longer has a kedusha gemura and possibly won't become possible yoytze? Answer the Michal Feinstein with the aside that he brings down for the Brisker Rav, which is discussed by the Brisker Rav in different places. That the Brisker Rav says that a mincha as mechumetz is not an ordinary paslus, but rather zok there, it actually is chaser in the ikar shem mincha. It's lacking in the label of a mincha. Why? Because when the Torah speaks of a mincha, it specifically identifies a mincha as being matzah. A korban mincha is matzah. Therefore, if you make a mincha that's chometz, it's lacking in one of the requisite qualifications for a mincha, which is it has to be matzah. Consequently, the din that the Brisker Rav says this thing, that the din that a mincha that's mechumetz is pasul is not just a paslus. But in addition to being a paslus, it also undermines the entire qualifications of it to be even labeled a true mincha, because a mincha has to be matzah, and this is not matzah, it's chometz. That's the Brisker Rav, and of them, Zok der Michal Feinstein, that's the shot in the Rashi. Rashi is saying that the paslus of making a mincha a chometz is not an ordinary paslus. It doesn't leave it at Kodosh, Kedusha, Gemura, just happens to be pasul. Rather, line of Kedusha, Gemura, Zok der Feinstein, the reason is because of the fact that now that it is mechumetz, it's lacking in one of the qualifications for mincha. Mincha has to be matzah, like it says in the Beferish and the Chumash. So now that it's not a kedusha gemura, perhaps there's an impossible for it to be chalal at the pasos of Yoytzei, and that is the question of the gemura, as Rashi explains. The Sefer Turei Even on Chagiga writes that if not for Rashi's Peirush on this sugya, he would have learned the shaila of the Gemara completely differently. And the Be'emes Rav Michal Feinstein writes that this pshat that the Turei Even says he would have learned is actually very stark meduyik in the Lashon HaRambam, that the Rambam actually did learn that pshat. And there it is that the Turei Even says that rather than getting into a question of whether the Psal Yoytzei is chal, or maybe it's not chal, it doesn't even take effect, we shouldn't learn that way. We ought to learn, Zok there, that perhaps the Psal Yoytzei is absolutely is chal, but the question here is that Vibal, since this mincha became nifsal already freer, already beforehand, with the mechumetz that was done in it, the act of fermentation that was done in it, became a leavened product that became a chometz, and consequently already was a mincha psula, so the yoytze, when it undergoes the process of being taken out of the azora, that's not matel apaslos on it, it's not a transformative process which transforms it from kashrus to paslos, because the mincha already was pasul. Therefore, the yoytze was not, the yoytze normally is a transformative process. You take a carbon that's kosher, you take it out of the azora, and becomes possible yoytze, so the yoytze effectuates the transformation into the paslos. Over here, the Yoytze was not transformative because it was possible even Meikor or even Mikoidim because of the fact that you were Mechametz and you fermented it before. Consequently, even though now it does have a second label that's upon it, that second label is unable to effectuate any halachos, it's unable to trigger any dinim because of the fact that it was not a transformative process, a transformative psul. That's why the Gemara is clearing that the Turei Even, whether since when the Pshas, when the person was Mechametz the Mincha the first time round, he was Mechametz it, was Chalam that Mincha din, that what? That even though it's now posel, it still is susceptible to a second violation of a loy sasei of chemetz yivim chemetz at a second time, because it's a special halacha on the paslus of and the paslus of mincha mechumetz, of mincha that's fermented, that even though normally a korban mincha psula doesn't have the isser of chemetz, a korban mincha that's psula by means of fermentation of chemetz does have the isser of chemetz. So since that din was already chal, b'shas when the person was mechametz, that din, that it could be a violation a second time with a second chumetz, won't change by virtue of the fact that it got a second label of yoytzei. Because vibalt, that already was pasul anyway, and that psul anyhow lent itself to, was vulnerable anyway, to a second violation of chumetz. So vayistos, the shem of this mincha psula is different from other mincha psulas. This mincha psula, even though it's pasul, it's able to be in violation a second time when you mechametz it a second time. But zoi, going through a second process of being yoytzei and making it yoytzei, won't change that, because this already labeled a mincha psula that's vulnerable to the violation of loytzei of a chometz. That's what the Turei Even would have learned, and the Feinstein says that actually is meduyik very stark in Rambam zok there. The Rambam did learn exactly that way; did not learn like Rashi, because the Rambam in Hilchos Ma'aseh Korbanos, when he brings in the safek of this Gemara, the Rambam says that the shaila is that the person was mechametz the mincha, then he went out yotzei lechutz, he went out of the azora. The chos of the chimtza says the Rambam achar shenifshala biyitziyasa, that you're mechametz the second time.
time after it was nifsala biyitziyasa, and then I'm passing the suffix of the Gemara, and he says you're not loike because of the suffix. But Kopana is mevur in Rambam that it's clear that it was nifsala biyitziyasa, not like Rashi who says that we're not sure, and maybe it wasn't really nifsala biyitziyasa, and perhaps since it didn't have a kedusha gemura, so therefore the psul of yoytze won't even take effect. In Rambam it's mevur we know that the psul yoytze does take effect, and despite that, even though it's a given, the way the Rambam learns that it does become possible yoytze after you mechametz it and becomes possible chimutz. Take it out of the Azor, it's possible a second psul. But Yoytzei, despite that we still have a Shaila, that maybe it could be in violation of Hametz a second time, and Zokhtar Michal Feinstein, this is Mamash the Turi Evan Pshat. The Turi Evan was learning, and the Rambam is Maduik this way, that the idea here is that even if I know that it does lend itself to become possible, but Yetziah from the Azorah, nonetheless, since it already had prior to that Hashem Paslos, Hashem Mincha Psula, which lent itself to a Isser Chimetz, because it was first an Isser Chimetz, it first had a Pasal Chimetz, which lent itself to Isser Chimetz, so the extra Psul that's Chalad a second time, on top of that, which is the Psul of Yetzi, is not going to change that, and we're going to say you already had it labeled already as a Mincha, that Psul, Pasal of Chimetz, and nonetheless lends itself to violation a second time. The Gemara continues, and it raises another question. What's the halacha if you mechametz a mincha at the very top of the Mizbeach? Now, what's the Shaila? So, Rashi explains that the case over here was that the person did a halal, which is to say that he took the koimitz and he put it on top of the Mizbeach. However, he had not yet put it on the fire. He was not yet do the haktorah. He did a halal to the Mizbeach, but did not yet do a haktorah. And the question over here is, am I in violation of the loisa? Say, if I ferment it, I do the act of chimutz at the top of the Mizbeach. Do I say that the pasuk says, asher takrivu, and over here you already did a hakrova, since he did the halal to the Mizbeach, even though it's not in the fire yet, as Rashi explains. Perhaps, however, this is called a takriv who has already done it because it was put at the top of the Mizbeach, and therefore it doesn't have the destiny of takriv, who it will be makriv. Akro is already done. Therefore, there's no lois hasei of being mechametz. Or maybe, dilma mechusar haktara, ke mechusar ma'is adami. Sof kol sof, the second side of the Gemara, he did not, after all, physically put it into the fire, didn't do the haktara yet, and therefore perhaps there is a lois hasei of chametz, and take the Gemara leaves that by a question. The Rambam, when he brings in this Gemara, says a very difficult lashon discussed by the Achronim. The Rambam brings in the suffix of this Gemara, and the Rambam brings down in Maisa Kobonis, Chemtza Barosh Shemizbeach, Eniloike, you don't get Malkos, it's a suffix. The Rambam says, why? Shenemer Ater Takrivu, like the Pasuk of the Gemara, Shet Takrivu, that you will be Makriv. In this case, it's not a question of will, because already on top of the Zbeach, Kvar Korvazu Vihi Kesheira. And this already was offered up at the top of the Zbeach, and is already on top of the Zbeach, and the Kesheira already kosher, and therefore consequently, perhaps the act of being mechametz at this point will not be included in the lois hasei. The problem that the achronim deal with over here, the Keren Oyer and other achronim ask the kasha, what do the last two words in Rambam mean? Kvar korvazu vihi kasheira. The Keren Oyer says, are we supposed to take out of this Rambam that in fact the person mechametz the korban at the very top of the Mizbeach, mamash already mechametz it, it's total chametz, and afal pi kein he could just take it and just offer onto the fire and be makriv it. It's not on the fire yet, you know. It's on top of the Mizbeach, but he wasn't makter it yet. It's not of the eish. But even though it's already chometz, perhaps they say it's already korov, and it's already on top of the Mizbeach, v'hi kasheira, the Rambam says, it's kosher, and therefore perhaps I can be able to be makdiv it onto the eish. It's such a thing shayach to say, zok the Keren Oyer, it's such a thing possible b'shem oifen, that it's mamish, even though it's chometz, he could offer and do a haktorah on it. The Keren Oyer says that such a thing he believes is totally impossible, because even if you'll say he already did a hakrova, it's on top of his beach, etc., etc., but he said that there's no way to get around the fact that you're going to be in violation if you take this chumetzdika koimetz and put it on the eish, you'll be in violation of kichol sa'er loy saktiru in the eish al Hashem, and the other pasuk said befeir saktiru, kichol sa'er loy saktiru. So it's not in the fire yet, and you put it into the fire, and it's sa'er, it's chumetzdik, so you're surely in violation of sa'er loy saktiru, and how could anybody suggest, how could the Rambam say that you're allowed to take it and throw it in the fire? That's impossible. Shumoifin. This is Zecher already puzzles, Zakti Keren Oyer, and it's included in Loi Saktiru. So what does the Rambam mean when he says B'shas HaKrova Kvar Korov Avihik Sheira? That you must learn, Zakti, what it means is that it was placed on top of the Bech when it was kosher then at the time of the placement. The Rambam is not telling you that now that your Mechametz is still kosher. Of course it's not still kosher. Now it's Sa'ir and you can't put it into the fire. That's for sure. However, since at the time of the place on top of the Bech it was kosher then, at that time it was not yet Chometz at at the time when you put it on the Talis Beach, Kvar Korov or Vihik Sheira, meaning in other words it was kosher, then when you put it on the top, consequently you're not over the Loisa say if you mechametz at the top, because the act of being mechametz on the top is perhaps not a violation of a Loisa say, since we look at the moment when it's put to the top, and at that moment it wasn't chametz. Could you be makdir it now in the Eish? No, you can't. Valkoponin, the Nafkamina is, you don't get Malkus, even though you were mechametz it on the top of the Beach, because when it was put on, it wasn't apostle then, it wasn't chametz then, kar korvazu vihik sheira at that time, zokti the kerinayu. Rabbi Michael Feinstein says on this that he feels that this pshat in the Rambam is a doichek, and perhaps it would have been kedai to find some way to say that the mincha is totally kosher, even though your mechametz at the top and your mamash could put on the fire. But that's impossible. But he believes that not for the reason that the Kerenira gave. In fact, the problem, Zokter, is not the posik that the Kerenira quotes of Kol Sa'er Lo Saktiru. Why? Zokter, because even though the posik Kol Sa'er Lo Saktiru is a very effective posik in teaching us that you surely is osir beloisa say to take that fermented dough of koimitz and put in the fire, you surely will be in violation of Sa'er Lo Saktiru, but you don't see clearly from there, Zok, there, that the mincha is posel, and after the fact, if somebody would put that koimitz into the fire, then maybe it's kosher after the fact. That posel, Sa'er Lo Saktiru, is just a loisase. It's a loisase, you're not allowed to be, and you can't do it, it's a loisase. But it doesn't tell you that if it was done, if somebody would do it, the mincha is taka posel, and it doesn't have to be redone. That you don't see from there, you just see it was a loisase. Where is there a clear raya, Zok, that the Rambam cannot be kipshutoi, and you cannot say the mincha is fundamentally kosher, and if it was put into the fire, will be totally no good, totally have to redone from the top. The raya, Zokter, is not from that posik, which is a loisa, say, so loisa tiru. That the raya is, Zokter, because he mentioned the yisoid before, that a korban mincha that becomes chometz is not just a paslus. It's not just now it has a psul that's chal in it because it happens to be chometz. But rather, it's felt in the ikar shem mincha, it's lacking in the label of a mincha, because a mincha by definition has to be matzah, like it says in the chumash itself, a mincha has to be matzah. Since this mincha is not matzah because it's fermented, it's chometz, and mele, it's missing the Shem Mincha, because Mincha by definition has to be matzah. So that's the problem. This koimitz, which is offered on top of the mizbeach, and it was done mamish with the kashrus at the time when it was offered, and maybe you're not over a loisa say if you mechametz it now at this point, although it may not be a loisa say, it's for sure that it's going to lose its Shem Mincha Gemura at that time. It doesn't have a complete Shem Mincha anymore, because now it's no longer matzah, and now it's chometz, and the Mincha has to be matzah, like the Pasuk says. Consequently, Yizicha cannot be mekayim the din haktorah by being maktirid, and it's not just a question of a loisa say of kol sa'er lo saktiru. It's a question that this no longer is a koimitz, a complete shem koimitz of a mincha, because the mincha itself is lacking in the shem matzah from this point on, now that it's chometz. If you offer on the fire, you're surely not yoitzer. He says, therefore, we are forced to say, Zokter, that the Rambam is not kipshutai, and like the Keren Ari learns, the pshat in the Rambam is at the time when you took to the top of the Beach, vihik sheir, it was kosher then. Not that it's still kosher now, henceforth, and you can move forward and put it in the fire, the kashrus. That's for sure not. But it was kosher when you put it at the top of the Beach, and therefore, maybe there's no loisa say the mechabes on the top of the Beach. I just want to emoisif that it strikes me that contrary to understanding of Rabbi Michael Feinstein, the Rambam actually may be very meduic like this Karen here is reading of the Rambam. Because the truth is that the Rambam really meant to say that it's totally kosher and it's not even possible even now that you mechametz it. He should have worded it differently. He should have said the fact that it's kosher at the beginning of the sentence, not the very tagged on, stuck on to the very end. The Rambam should have said the chimtz of the Beach ain't like kosher he shenemer etc etc. He should have said the mincha you're not malka, you don't get malka, then it's kosher. The Rambam sticks the word kosher here to the very, very end of the sentence in a very, very awkward manner if it's supposed to be read that it's actually kosher. The Rambam says, chimtz b'reishon mizbeach, you don't get malkus, because it says, asher takrivu, that will be makriv, over karl vazu vihik sheira. But the Rambam means, pashto, it's one run-on sentence over there. It already was offered vihik sheira at the time of the hakrava, and therefore, the takrivu moment is perhaps the moment that determines if you're in violation of the lav. Here was placed on the mizbeach, it wasn't chometz, so karl vazu vihik sheira, and consequently, there's no loisa say. It really is very meduic like the Karenera, and it's not the pshat that I think that it's awkward and the doichi, because the reality is, the Rambam would have meant to say that it's truly kosher, he would have perhaps said that at the very beginning when he's passing the din, not at the very end when he's giving the reason and the source in the pasuk. At the very bottom of the Omud, the Gemara brings down a drasha of what they call the drasha of Yosi Aglili, that it says a pasuk of Asher Takrivu, and it's marbe from the Rabbis Minchas Nesachim Lechimutz, Divir Rabbi Yosi and Aglili. So even Rabbi Yosi, even the Minchas Nesachim, has a Isser Chimutz. Minchas Nesachim is a special kind of a mincha that you offer together with an oil and a shlomim. It has a flower offering, etc. And the Minchas Nesachim, we have a special Ribbi Hakra that too is not allowed to be chometz. Rashi explains that I would have said a hava amina, that perhaps it would not be included in the Isser of chometz because of the fact that there's no shirayim. You don't do a kmitz on the Minchas Nesachim and leave the rest over to eaten by the kohenim. Rather, it's completely offered. And since the Pashtus Hakra, Rashi says, the simple reading of the Pasik is discussing case of an ordinary mincha where it has shirayim, and that's the case the pasuk says that you're not allowed to make it chometz, I would have had a half a min of the minchas nesachim does not have this iser of making it chometz, and the kamashmal and the special riboy that minchas nesachim has iser chometz, and that's a b'yosei aglili. The Gemara later on changes the girsa, the Gemara goes through the sugya and it proves that this is not actually b'yosei aglili, it's actually b'kiva. So b'kiva says that the minchas nesachim cannot become chometz. The Gemara asks the question, minchas nesachim may pay rois, hein? May pay rois are not machmitzim. A very famous piece of Gemara here in the Achroin, I'm going to get to Chas Pesach, and we'll go through it somewhat, the discussion of May Peris being Mechametz. We touched on this already at the beginning of the Perek, but I wanted to touch again on it, then again to the specific Shaka, the Tario of the Achroinim, and our Gemara. So the Gemara asked that the Mechas Nesachim is May Peris. What does it mean? Well, the Mechas Nesachim has flour, it has oil, but it doesn't have water. The only Pasuk only identifies flour and oil. So therefore, consequently, it's really a question of flour together with a May Peris, like a fruit juice, and May Peris doesn't become a true Chametz anyhow. So there, it doesn't become Chametz. So therefore, Frekta Gemara, what was the Havam? I mean, what's the discussion? I mean, what's the Isser over here to make it Chometz? It's not going to become Chometz because it's just a question of May Peris and it won't truly ferment. The Gemara says on that, the Rish Lakish says, that Rabbi Yisrael Glili used to say, or in the Maskana to Gemara, presumably Rabbi Kiva used to say that Mechon Nesachem Megablo Mamai Mukshari. Okay? So, Rabbi Kiva is going to hold that you're allowed to put water into the Mechon Nesachem. You could have flour and oil and water. So therefore, once you have flour and oil and water, it could become a Chometz Gomorrah, and that's where the Pasuk tells you that you're in violation of the Issa Chometz if you need it in the manner of flour, oil, and water, and you leave it to become Chometz. This Gemara is actually been in Tam's Raya that we mentioned at the beginning of the Perek. We discussed it then, that you see from this Gemara that if you have a flour with fruit juice, a May Peros on Pesach, and you add water into it, so even though May Peros are not machmitzim, but once there's water added into it, it does become chametz, and that's what you see from this sugya. And before in the Gemara, like that, and therefore you have a special crow over here, Pasuk telling you that the Mechaz HaSachem as well, if you added water, you make sure they're not chametz. The Nei Debi Yehuda over here asks a big kasha. Nei Debi Yehuda asks, we find in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Pesach that if I have a dough which is made with May Peros, fruit juice, and water, and you leave it to ferment, you leave it to rise, the halacha is that it only becomes Chometz Noiksha. A Chometz Noiksha is an incomplete fermentation, it's not a Chometz Gomor, and there are special lesser dinim on a Chometz Noiksha. Furthermore, says the Nei Debi Yehuda, we find that the Tor Paskins in Tof Mem Beis, the Chometz Noiksha only Darabonon. It's not even an Issa Deraisa, it's only a Issa Darabonon. So, Frecht, and that's why the Tor Paskins la halacha on Nafkemin is that in fact Chometz Noiksha can't ask a mashahu. Normally, chometz of Pesach asks even infinitesimal amount of chometz in a big tarovitz, a big admixture. Chometz neiksha is only bottle b'shishim, 60 parts of heter against the chometz and mevatel it. Frak the Nei Yehuda is a pelagodl over here. How could you possibly have this thing in the Torah Shulchan Aruch that May Peris with water is only chometz neiksha? And we're saying that the Torah says it's only derabanan. Chometz neiksha is only derabanan. So then it comes out that the case in this gemara over here that the person would make the menchas nesachim with the oil, which is a kind of fruit juice, and he mixes in water, and he leaves it to rise, it would only be Issa d'Rabbanan. How could anybody say that? Sorry, that it's only Chometz d'Rabbanan, it's not a Chometz d'Raisa. It's impossible. If it's a complete fermentation, it wouldn't be d'Raisa. The Gemara has a Pasuk over here, Mamash a Pasuk, telling you that you can be in violation of a Torah level of Issa of being Mechametz on the Mechaz Nesachim. How could that possibly be reconciled with what we find in the Torah of the Shulchan Aruch and Chas Pesach, that the May Peris with the water still leads to a somewhat incomplete fermentation? It's a Chometz Noiksha, and the Chometz Noiksha is only d'Rabbanan. That's why, the passing of the halacha, based on his analysis of this Gemara, that actually May Peris with water does become a Chometz Gomor, and it asks even B'mashehu, and not just B'shishim, because he says it's muchach like that in this sugya. Now, the Achrein and Matazuch to find different ways to get around this tying of the Nei Debi Yehuda to defend the Pesach of the Torah of the Shulchan Aruch, and how to get around it. In the Sefer Onig Yontif, he comes up with a particularly straightforward approach, a bit of a tumult whether his approach actually works. The Onig Yontif writes that he says, Lo Hevanti Rayosai. I would say it's a very simple way to get around this riot of the Nei Debi Yehuda. You could simply say that the sequence by which he combined the flour, the May Peris, the oil, and the water was simply that he put the flour and the water first. He left it for a while and he only combined the May Peris subsequent after that. So it's very simple, Zokta. If he would have combined the flour and the May Peris together, and together with that he put the water, I would say it's Chometz Noiksha, it's an incomplete fermentation, it wouldn't be Deraisa. But here we're talking about that the Seder, the sequence of events was, he combined the flour and the water first, and he left it, and then it fermented a Chometz Gomor, because at that that time there was no peiris mixed into it, and only after that he mixed in the peiris. So that could be a case in which you're into, it would be a Torah level violation because of the fact that it did get a chametz koma, because b'shas the fermentation process there was no peiris mixed into it at the time at all. So what's b'chlal the nebihudas raya? He doesn't understand even the raya, and it's clear that chametz could work even if I hold that when the all three are combined together and they rise, then that would not be a complete chametz koma. It'd only be a chametz noiksha and only be the rabbanim. That's the anigyant. However, the Ursa Meach, who discusses Nei Debihuda on his own independently of the Negative. Now, Sameach suggests this as well, and he's matred. Now, Sameach says it's tempting to say that we can get around the Nehuda's Raya by saying that first you mix the flour and the water, and you left it, and only after that you mix in the Meperit. Now, Zokter, it's never going to work out. Why? Because we have Amanda Omar earlier on Dafches, in the first Perik of Menachos, Chanina on Dafches holds, Ein Mincha Kedoisha Beloy Shemen, that a carbon Mincha does not have a Kedusha Saguf, a true Kedusha of a carbon Mincha, until after you mix the oil into it. It's a Machlaikas over there, Rav holds that Mincha Kedoisha Beloy Shemen, you could have a Kedusha Saguf of Mincha, even before you mixed in the oil. The Chanina argues and he holds, Ein Mincha Kedoisha Beloy Shemen. The Zokt of them, the Sameach, that if you're going to say that the only case, the only way in which I could have the Isur Chimutz on the Mechas Nesachim is what? Is if I mix the flour and the oil first and left it on the Mechametz, and then before I stalk in the Shemen, because the Shemen was there already, it wouldn't be Mechametz Chimutz Gomer. And the only way to be over the Isur Deraisa of Mechametz and Mechas Nesachim, if the Shemen wasn't in there yet, then it's impossible to reconcile that to make a shtim with her Chanina, because according to Chanina, it's not even a Mincha then at that time. It doesn't have a Kedusha, a Guf of a Karban Mincha, because it doesn't have the Shemen in there, and before the Shemen is put in there, it's not a Kedushas Mincha. So how could it be, if it doesn't have a Kshav Mincha and it, at that time yet, it's not going to be over the Issa Chimetz for sure? So how does Chanina, who holds that it doesn't have a Kedusha before the Shemen is put in, how is he going to reconcile, how is he going to learn over here the Issa Chometz on the Mechas Nesachim, Monashach Zagda, if you put the Shemen in, it can't get a complete fermentation. If it didn't put the Shemen in yet, it's not a Kedusha Gemura yet, and therefore doesn't have the Issa Chimetz. So this is the Ursa Meach's big kasha. Now, granted, the Chazanish has a piece in which he works on this Neid Behuda and offers, actually on his own, the same teretz as the Unigyantif. He says he could have put the water in first and left it to ferment before the Meperis was put in. So we don't know. We need to know how the Chazanish would get around this taina of the Ursameach. But the Chazanish does offer another two ways to get around the whole taina of the Neid Behuda. First of all, Zok the Chazanish, it could be that the person did mix the Shemen and he mixed the water and he mixed it all in. However, the Shemen is not yet fully mixed. It's not completely mixed, thoroughly mixed together. And there are parts of the flour that have not had any contact with the oil. He only had a contact with the water. And that Zok there certainly would have a Kedushas Mincha, no question whatsoever. And you put the flour and the oil and the water in. And there's certain parts of it could get a Chometz Gomer because the oil did not come into contact with that part of the Mincha. See, that's clear that could get a Chometz Gomer, and the Yehuda's Taina is not a Taina if you'll have areas that just had water. Moreover, Zot the Chazinish, he brings in a Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha in Tassamach Beis discusses a Primogodim. The Primogodim says that this whole din that it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that if a person mixes a dough on Pesach with meperis and with fruit juice and he mixes in water, and the halacha is that it does not become a chometz gomer, it's a lesser madrega of chometz, only a chometz noiksha, then the Gadam Tainas that that's all talking if it's a small amount of water that was mixed in. But Zok there, if it's ruboy mayim, that majority water was put in, a small amount of fruit juice and ruboy mayim, mostly water, then that the Prima Gadam is a kuli alma, it's a chometz gomer, definitely a chometz gomer. In other words, that there, that relatively small amount of fruit juice will not impede the fermentation process, which is brought about by the water with the flour, and it's a chometz gomer for sure, and you have chorus on it for certainty, even though there is some fruit juice in there because of roiv mayim in the isa. So the chazanish, that could be another case over here. Perhaps the person put a large quantity of water into the mechas nesachim. So although there is a quantity of shemen in there, the water was a greater quantity. It's roiv mayim, and that we have the prima godin telling us that in such a case, the shulchan aruch is maskim that it's a chometz gomer, it's a complete chometz, and that could be the case of the sugya over here. We're in violation of chometz on the Mechas Nesachim. At the bottom of the Omud, the bottom of Omud Beis, the Gemara discusses a new topic, which is the Loisa say in the Torah, Ki chol so'ev v'chol devash, Loisa aktivim enu ishal Hashem, which the Pshuta Shemikra is, of course, that you're not allowed to imakte du'a haktara on the meach, anything fermented, any chometz, any so'ev, or anything sweet, any devash. And that's the Pshuta Shemikra. The Gemara also learns out of the Pasuk an additional drasha, Loisa aktiru, mimenu ishal Hashem. We focus on the last phrase, the mimenu ishal Hashem, and we learn out another din, kol shehu mimenu le'ishim, harei hu v'bal taktiru, which means anything, any part of a korban which I already offered the chelek that gets niktar on the fire of the beach, and I have left over, for example, the shirayim of a korban mincha, or I have left over the bosor of a korban, this is the part that's supposed to be nechal by the koyanim or by the bailam, I have that left over, that if you offer that up on the mezbeach, that's mimenu l'ishim, the part that already had the ishim part, the ish part already went on it, the chelev or the koyanim to the mincha went on it, and now you offer the remainder of the mincha or the korban on it, you're going to be over on this pasuk of loisak tinu menu ishal Hashem, because it's menu ishal Hashem. The Gemara learned that at Rasha, a special Rebbe Hakra, that even if you put it on the kevesh, the rampant of the bech, you're also in violation of these isurim, not just the tapan of the bech, but offering on the kevesh, the rampant of the bech, is also a violation of you put the soir or the dvash, or the shirayim of the mincha, etc., on the kevesh, that too is a violation of the saktiru. The Benu Gershom over here speaks out that's even below Haktor. Let's say it's the halor. He said the maisa halor, the act of putting it on top of the bech, or in this case, of putting it on top of the kevesh, these are going to be a violation of mimenu ishal Hashem, your violation of the timen ishal Hashem, and you're over on the iser, the lois hasay, just like putting it on the kevesh. Taisa speaks out that according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita in Mesechta Zvachim, holds that the ritzbas ha'azor, the floor of the azor, was niskadesh kimizbech. In other words, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could even do a haktorah on the floor of the azor. You could makdir, you could offer up in a fire the various chaylev and etc. The haktorah is the koymitz of the mincha. You could offer it on the rizpah of the azora on the floor of the mezbech, of the floor of the azora, because a special kedusha, the Gemara says according to Behuda that the rizpah of the azora, the floor of the azora was niskadesh with a kedusha like the mezbech. So according to Behuda, the Gemara didn't have to get a chap onto the kevesh, the ramp over here. The Gemara could have chapped on not just the ramp but the entire floor of the azora. That it could, if I take the of the dvash and I offer them on the floor of the azora, or I take the leftovers of the mincha or the basar of the korban and offer them on the floor of the azora and I offer them in a fire on the floor of the azora, so I mean likewise they're going to be inviolate of the law, of lois taktiru, even though it's not the ramp, even though it's the floor. So according to Behuda, he didn't have to chab onto the ramp. So he says a couple of suggestions. Maybe there is a couple of reasons why, even according to Behuda, the more will chab onto the dafka, the ramp, the kevesh, and not the floor of the azorah. One suggestion Taisa makes is that maybe, even according to Behuda, this special kedusha that Shlomo was mekadesh the ritzpah, that you could do a haktorah on the floor of the azorah, l'ksherim kideish v'loy l'psulim. He only was mekadesh it for the purpose of offering up haktorahs k'sherois, that's the kosher haktorahs, offering up the chaylam of a korban and the like, but he didn't make this kedusha to mekadesh it for the purpose of offering up psulim to be in violation of sa'oiloi saktiru or dvasloi saktiru the like. So that's a chiddush, a suggestion in Tosis, that even according to Behuda, it would only be on the kevesh, you're in violation, not on the ritzbah. The Mikdash David says on this, that the pshuto, the simple pshat of this Tosis will be mashma, that Shlomo HaMelech, when he was mekadesh the ritzbah HaZorah, picked and chose what kedushas he wanted it to have. This kedusha should have, this kedusha shouldn't have, he was mekadesh l'ksherim, but not l'psulim, so he decided that the ritzbah will have a din, like a mezbeach, as far as it goes to a maktir korbonet ksherim, like the chaylum of a korban, but it won't have a din of ritzbah HaZorah, it won't have a din of mezbeach, as far as offering a psulim like Sa'ir and Devash and the like, and being over the Lois Haseh. However, the Midrash David says he does not believe that that's correct. And he says he's very doubtful altogether about whether Shloimeh, or somebody who's Mekadesh, and makes a Kedusha on the, in this case, on the floor of the Azorah, and decides to give a Kedusha to the Be'ach if he could pick and choose on your own. Manoshach is up there, that has a Din Mizbe'ach, or doesn't have a Din Mizbe'ach. Has a Din Mizbe'ach, has a Din Mizbe'ach for every purpose, even for the psulim, to be over the Lois Haseh. It doesn't have a Din Mizbe'ach, so then it's not going to be good for Fink Sherim either. And it's unlikely, he says it's very doubtful, whether Shlomo could have picked and chose. Rather, Zokter, Tosfos maybe means to allude over here to a big Yesoid. The Yesoid is, Zokter, that in fact, when we say according to Yehuda that the Shlomo was Mekadesh Ritzpah's Hazorah to be offer up Kabonis, to offer the Muktorim of a Kabonis on the Ritzpah of the Hazorah, it does not mean that he gave the Ritzpah a Shem Mizbeach. That his Ritzpah is now labeled a Mizbeach for this purpose of offering up Muktorim. It doesn't mean that. Rather, the Chiddush is the other way around, Zokter. The Chiddush is that it's possible to have a mokem haktorah that doesn't have a Shem Mizbeach, and that's the chiddush that was mischadish in the special sugya in Zvochim according to Yehuda, that even though the Ritzpah HaTorah is not a Mizbeach, it's not labeled a Mizbeach, nonetheless in this thing it's possible to give it a kedushas mokem haktorah and offer a moktorah on there. So that's a pshat in the Tosis. The bow that this Ritzpah HaTorah, even according to Yehuda, is not a mokem Mizbeach. It's not a Mizbeach. It has a separate independent din that you're allowed to do haktorahs on it. So therefore, Tainach, when it comes to doing haktorahs of Ksherim, where the Torah tells you to do the haktorah, so you're allowed to use, according to Behuda, the special Kedushas HaMakom of the floor of the Azorah. Torah, and that's also a good makom haktorah. Mashe Enkin, you're talking about the lois that say here in the pasuk to offer seir and vashin, etc. And on the mizbeach, there is that that's totally in the shem mizbeach. That's totally in the actual mizbeach. And we know that even according to Yehuda, that Ritzpas Hazorah has a kedusha, the shem mizbeach, the label on mizbeach is only on the mizbeach itself, and that's what Tosis means lepsulim. When it comes to the isra being matip sulim, is only if you put the haktorah on the shem mizbeach, which is the mizbeach itself, not the ritzpa. Only then are you going to be in violation.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf in Shas, including Maror Mekleimus on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.